is going to kick in. So how about we go ahead, Grease, if you're listening, go ahead and call in right now. 213-252-0998 is the number for all you listeners out there. If you'd like to call and talk to us on the show, we're going to have Grease call in and talk a little bit. And then if he wants to steer us to some other links, we'll go ahead and play some more music by him as well before the end of the show. So Grease, go ahead and call in. If you're not calling in right away, I'll bang a couple more by some of these other artists that we've been talking about and working with on the show, and that were at the Slum Fest on Saturday, last Saturday. I was talking about John Harrington and Midwest Avengers, and I know we've featured them on the show before. Innovation did a feature on So-and-So and all that, so we'll probably get into them in a minute, but that sounds like that might be Grease Gutter, so let's go ahead and check it out. Kill Radio.
Yo, what's good, fam?
Hey, it is. It's Grease. How you doing, man? Thanks for calling into the show.
Cheers.
So how's it feel hearing your music out here on LA Radio? Is that kind of nice?
Oh, it was nice, man. I appreciate that, man. Definitely was a good feeling hearing it coming over the waves like that.
Yeah, man. Well, I got to say, LA is a city that may not have love for all cities, but they seem to always be warm to St. Louis when I drop it as where I'm from. People go, oh, Cardinals, that's awesome. And then they'll be like, you know, oh, I have a friend that went to Washington University or something. Like, it's almost always like L.A. gives love, man. And they like the music, too. They've always dug St. Louis style. So, I don't know. I feel like we got a good market out here for getting a lot of our, you know, Slum Fest brothers and sisters out on the airwaves, man.
That's what's up, man. And, you know, we definitely appreciate everything that you know what I'm saying, that you're doing out there, holding it down, and you know what I'm saying, even you know, being that source to get the music out there for everybody to hear what we doing and banging back at the crib. So
well, thank you, man, and I gotta say much love to killradio.org, man, because these people here make it possible for us to do what we're doing, and I don't know that many radio stations that would let me run my show the way I do, so that's an amazing thing,
shout
man.
Shout out to killradio.org. I thought that was a funny website name too, man, when I saw it, I was like,
Kill Radio. It's because a lot of people want to kill their radio, man. I mean, I think you can understand that when you listen to it. It's like, what the fuck is coming out of this thing?
Right. Yeah, I agree, man.
Corporate radio.
Man. Mainstream is definitely mainstream.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, okay, so tell us a little bit about yourself for the listeners. I mean, we had introduced you as the Challenger on here back when you put out the challenge video on slumfest.com. So before that, you weren't really on my radar very much. I know they did a feature on you in RFT, right? There was something about that I'd heard from a friend. But that was about the only thing I'd heard about you before the challenge vid. So go ahead and kind of tell us, who's Grease Gutter? You know, where are you from in St. Louis? You know, what kind of style do you think you're all about? And, you know, just give us the background.
I got you. Well, like y'all know, man, Grease Gutter, formerly known as Grease. Let me get my Hollywood on right quick. but I'm from the east side, man. A lot of people don't know that, you know, as far as, like, mainstream-wise, you know, when you come in out of this area, they want everybody to, you know, just say St. Louis because it's the major city. But I'm from the east side of the arch, man, in Illinois, 618. Grew up in Washington Park. Charlie Park to the other people that don't know about Washington Park, but yeah, man, I've been spitting for a while, man. I guess I'll say I've been blessed, man, because I've only actually been writing songs for about maybe 6 years now. I used to just freestyle a lot, and
yeah, me too. I think that's why you're good at battling, man. I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah, I wasn't good enough, man.
Hey, man, but you had to battle 4 rounds. I had to battle 2. I have to tell you.
It was, you know, we go get, I know you want to talk about that. We go get into that. I'm going to tell you exactly what was going through my mind. But, yeah, man, 2 years ago, going on 3 now, I met with my manager, JC Management, Jondalyn. She's out of Wichita. She's actually from Cali, but she lives in Wichita, Kansas now. And my other half of my management is her husband, which is Core DJ 3 out of Wichita, Kansas, with the Core DJs. So kind of when I got with them, man, they kind of propelled, you know, my level of being focused in what I do with the mic, because I really used to be on a lot of that real hood type music, man. And I wasn't really trying to make music that could just everybody could vibe to. You know, I really wasn't trying to be versatile and use myself for what I should have been doing. And they really brought that up out of me. That's kind of why I got tracks like So Blind now, because of them.
Right. So, well, and that's it. It's like So Blind to me sounds like some old school backpacker style. And that's great because a lot of my friends, including myself, like some of that music. But I also like the diversity between the two tracks we just played, because the second track, I could say, sounds more commercial, but also it sounds better than commercial. And John keeps saying that over here. My co-host keeps going, man, it's better than what's on the radio. You know,
I appreciate that, man. Like, the biggest thing I'm dealing with now, Tuck, is I'm trying to get my city behind me. That's the biggest thing right now. I don't mind doing the work, Tuck. Like, I go out of town. I go to the Core DJ retreats. You know, I just came back from Vegas a couple of weeks ago. You know, I went to the other one that was in Dallas. I go to Kansas City. I go to Kansas. I do stuff in Oklahoma. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just back home, you know, and that's part of my fault, because a lot of MCs back home, especially from my side of the water, they have a bitter taste about St. Louis in their mouth because of all the BS that went on back in the day. Oh, you know, they side versus our side, and the radio station over there, and everybody feeling like they don't give a damn about the East Side cats and all that kind of stuff. And I used to be like, forget a DJ, I don't need a DJ. You know, but when I got my management, they had to open my eyes to the business side. They had to open my eyes to the lost things about rapping and being an entertainer. The MC is, you know, the footwork, going out there talking to everybody, not just getting their people on Facebook and Twitter and any other social networking. You know, I'm going out there meeting the vets. You know,
being accessible.
I really appreciate, you know, people like you and all the other vets that I meet, like, you know, like D-Mac and Tef and Rob and Finster and all them. You know, Finster been knowing me for a long time, and I used to come to him with song after song after song, year after year after year. He used to tell me no all the time.
Right. That's the St. Louis scene. You know that. That's the St. Louis scene. It's that it rejects you forever. Then it gives you a bone once out of the blue, and you think this is it. Then it tears you back down. Then maybe it gives you a little more than it did the time before. Then it tears you back down. I mean, you got to go through a lot of ups and downs. You talk about bitter taste in the mouth. I had to go through getting that out of my mouth to be able to come back and run it again. I did, for sure.
Yeah, it definitely, and I think that's what, you know, a lot of people say, you know, why we not like Atlanta, or why we not like, you know, Florida, Miami, or whatever like that. And honest to God, I don't even know why people can say that, because we don't live there. But, I mean, like you said, man, I mean, anything that you want, you got to fight for it regardless. Ain't nothing going to be given to you. You know what I'm saying? And it's, I think, just in St. Louis, like any other place, it's oversaturated. You know, it's like just like people that want to make it to the NBA.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? People don't understand. It's literally, I looked it up the other day, every year it's about 12,000 kids that's trying to make it to the NBA. Out of the 12,000 kids, about 600 of them get scholarships, and it's only 60 jobs available every year in the NBA.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
You know.
And out of that, how many of them are going to keep it through more than training camp, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. They'll bring somebody from overseas and be like, oh, I'm sorry, he hoop a little better than you. Sorry.
I'm fascinated. I mean, hoops has always been my favorite, but I'm fascinated with sports. But I'll tell you, that's what fascinates me the most, is that these people have enough steely reserve or intestinal fortitude to be able to keep on trying to push for it to get that deal. And, you know, once they get the deal that sets them up, if they're smart, they'll stay rich. But it's that chasing that dream that someday I'll be the champ. Someday I'll win that big old ring or whatever, and, you know, then I'll be set. You know, damn, what keeps them going, man? Because most of them never get there. It's like mountain climbers; they die on the way up. You know, but
yeah, they do.
But that's it, man. And that too, like, what would make someone want to climb Mount Everest or whatever? And why do they keep on trying to do this shit when they know people die up there every year? But they keep on doing it, bro. You know, it just fascinates me, because I know that's kind of like what we're doing. We're climbing a big fucking mountain all the time, you know, and it feels like it takes forever. The other metaphor I was using was, it's like hitting a boulder with a little tiny rock hammer and thinking you're going to actually put a crack in that shit, you know, and it's like you hit it forever,
man.
Right. You hit it forever.
It is, and I guess that would definitely apply to how some people say some people get lucky.
Right.
Get lucky. You know, some people know somebody, and you know what I'm saying, just however, whatever it takes to get your foot in the door, I guess, you know, but...
Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about what's been going on recently. I know you said you've been out pounding the block and doing the touring, and that's wonderful. I think that's what it really takes still. I think it's always taken that, but I think it takes it even more now. But what's coming up on the direct horizon? You know, any music coming out soon, or what's up?
I got a mixtape. It's called BRB, stand for Bringing Raw Back. That it's done. It's done. Pretty much everybody at Slumfest. I actually was happy, man. I ran out.
Nice. While I was there. Nice.
That was wonderful. You know, versus me just standing there like other people and be like, "Hey, how you doing? Here, my CD." Like, people actually was coming up to me, like, you know, "Can I get a CD?" After I performed, and I actually wound up running out. So. But I got more on the way. We're actually gonna have a album release, well, mixtape release party for it as well. I also got another project that I'm working on, another tape that's actually called a project. It's gonna be me, K1 that's out of Wichita, and Dub that's out of Wichita. We all going old school with it, sucking doing a little compilation CD together.
Sick.
So
you know, I have that BRB mixtape right here. I was looking while we were talking, and I got it. So after we get done talking, I'm going to bump some of this right now. So we'll definitely get some shine, give some shine to it. And just to let y'all know, you can find this on SoundCloud. If you type in Grease Gutta, it comes up. It just type in BRB, capital BRB, and it will come up. So, okay, so now we got to get to the battle, man. First of all, we got to tell him, because I didn't really tell him everything. There was a thunderstorm that fucked everything up, because the battle was originally going to be outside. And
yeah, it was.
And the storm hit about 45 minutes before the battle was to start, so it ended up delaying the battle like a solid hour. So that was stressful. The first round of nerves right there is, oh, man, this better fucking go off. I came all the way here for this shit. So that, I was telling people, I'm like, I don't know what I got more nerves about, my opponents or all this shit that's going wrong right now. Lord.
Oh, yeah, that weather was stupid. It got stupid real quick outside.
And they had to cut sets, which is obviously stressful for the promoters and for the artists, you know, because they didn't have enough space for them because that stage was compromised by the weather.
Yeah.
So anyway, so we're all squashed into the main room at Atomic Cowboy. Way too many people in there, elbow to elbow in that room.
Right.
Sweating our ass off just from the body heat. And
right.
And then, okay, so I guess we can go round by round. Why don't you recap your rounds for us? Like, because you went four rounds, man. I mean, I got to say, you proved yourself through four rounds, man. So go ahead and tell us about each round and kind of how you felt about them.
It was kind of funny. The whole time, I'm going to just take everybody through my mind. Tucker went on stage and performed, okay? And I was there with my cameraman. And we were watching you, and I was laughing the whole time. I told my camp, I said, I can't even get mad and get in man mode right now to battle him because he's so damn silly. I was trying to focus and channel that energy of I don't like you, so I got to destroy you because people want me to win, and I couldn't do it because he's up here like, I know all of you guys are looking at me like I'm this old white guy. I know I've heard it before. Bring it. So I'm just sitting there laughing like, but this dude's silly. So we get to the battle, and they got me going against, I didn't know that was Les' friend, and shout out to Les. And I'm sitting there like, okay. I don't want to really come out real, real high power with the firepower. I'm like, I want to come out kind of iffy and see if Tucker check me out and be like, oh, okay, yeah, this would be a cakewalk.
Yeah, you were doing the rope-a-dope, man, and that's funny because I looked over at dude and I'm like, this doesn't seem like he's that hot yet. Like, I looked at my friend, I'm like, it doesn't seem like he's that hot yet. What, did he just not bring it tonight or what? So you did have me thinking, bro. That was a good mind trick right there.
I was definitely, because I knew I could beat him, and to try to seal the deal, I told myself, I was like, I'm just going to walk in his face as soon as he started rapping. So I walked in his face, and he got so nervous. If you could have seen his eyes, he got so nervous. And then when he stepped back, I knew it was over with. I was like, he can't focus. That's why I pulled my phone out and I put it in his face and took a picture of him.
That's awesome. It's like, here, so, let me just posterize you real quick. Photobomb, bitch.
And then I took a picture of the crowd, and they're all like, yeah, throwing a middle finger up. And I'm like, yeah, he's done, because nobody's even paying attention now. So it's like, whatever. So.
And I forget Les's friend's name. He's a nice guy. I think both of them will admit to you that they were a few drinks past the legal limit at that point. So
yeah, they told me.
They were a little sloshy, man. And I could tell with both of them that, you know, they were just trying to hold on to their wits, period, because they were sloshy and we weren't. So that's a big difference right there, man, is you had your wits about you. You had already had a game plan and a strategy. I think dude just came out there swinging and a little too loose in the goose. The first dude, especially, that'd be my judgment right there, was he was wild and not that kinetic, and you were polished, but you didn't come as hard as I thought you might. So you did have me thinking.
I think the next round I had to go against Les. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had to go against Les. Now, I will say this. When I had to go against Les, in my mind, I was like, he's a crowd favorite, because I actually checked his set out when he was on stage performing, and he definitely is a showman. I told him that when I talked to him outside of Atomic Cowboy before I left. And so I was like, you know, I know he's going to come at me. He's going to try to throw some heat at me about my body or whatever, and that's cool. But he kind of helped me out, because when he got to talking about, you know, I'm from the suburbs and, you know, 636 and all this other stuff, I was just like, you know, he kind of cut himself, because one thing about St. Louis is, it's nothing but 314.
That's right. 636 is the enemy, bro.
All that other stuff, but it's about the 314.
It's the enemy. It's like saying I'm the enemy and I'm here in your midst and I'm not ashamed of it. It's like saying that.
Yeah.
It really is. You so talk about East Side and the other side.
I was just like, you know, who give a? Can we? Is it okay to cuss?
Oh yeah. Of course, man. Of course.
Okay. So you know, I'm like, you know, who give a fuck about 636? Everybody knows 618 and 314 in this bitch. So everybody was just like, yeah, like, fuck you. So after that, it was just kind of uphill. And the whole thing was, but it backfired on me. When I threw the man meat line out there, now I had talked to Tef before the battle, and Tef kind of told me, you know, how you were, because he was telling me all about the battles you guys had.
Yeah.
And that was after I talked to you, when you told me how y'all used to go, you know, round for round, pound for pound.
That dude was my toughest out. I called it Ollie Frazier to him. I said, I knew one of us was going to get savagely beat that night. Every single time we went against each other, and I knew it might be me and it might be you, but it was never certain. And that made it so damn hard for both of us. It was both of us knew we were going to be a really tough out every fucking time, bro.
Yeah, so. that's what he was telling me, and he was like, it's funny because he was like, you might be all right, because see, Tucker don't really know about you like we know about you. You know what I'm saying? So he don't really have nothing on you. But he was like, you know, you got to be careful, because he's the type of person, man, he's quick, and he can take what you said, and he's gonna recycle it. He'll recycle it real fast. And I was like, that's cool. I threw the man meat line out there because I knew you was going to use it against me.
Wow, more of the rope-a-dope. That's genius, bro. I didn't know this. You're telling me.
Flip it.
Wow, you are Ollie-like. Look at you, man. Lord.
So, and it's just so funny the way it turned out. That's why I had no bitterness about it whatsoever. It was so fun. But, you know, I won the round with Les, and then I had to go against A-Game. A lot of people don't know, besides you, A-Game is the other person that I've always wanted to battle, because I feel like A-Game is I feel like he's a good MC. He's got a lot of, he's got a lot of swag behind his flow, and it shows when he raps. So if you noticed, that third round, I really came hard that third
round. I said that to my friends. I go, wow, he must have caught fire now, because this sounds way hotter than the last two rounds. You're right.
I was like, this, I got to come off the third round. And I was like, because for one, I wanted to battle A-Game. And I knew I was going to have to battle him. And I told my guy, I said, I got to show Tuck now that I ain't fucking around. This is what I got to do. So he going to see this round and he going to go, okay, well, shit, the fire going.
Gut check. That was the gut check right there. And I did check my gut at that moment. I went, okay, you ready for him now? He seems like he's appropriately hot.
So I got that round, okay. And then they're like, all right, we're going to do championship round. And they're like, you know, we're going to take a little intermission. So I'm like, all right. I'm chilling. I'm like, where Tuck at? Tuck comes and walks right in front of me and kind of stands there. Then he walks off. And it's so funny because I'm like, I know he know I'm looking at him. I know because we went there for each other. So
that's where the gamesmanship kicks in. I got a little gamesmanship too, man. You know, because I was nice to you earlier, and then right when it gets to it, then I get a little aloof again, you know. It's all part of the gamesmanship.
Right. So it came time for us to battle. And if everybody don't know, they had all of us battling. We were freestyling on beats against each other. So when it was time for me and Tuck to go, they were like, all right, we're going two rounds, which I expected. And they're like, we're going to go a cappella. I was like, a cappella?
Yeah, that's adds a whole new dimension.
I didn't plan on that. Yeah. Not to say that I can't go a cappella, but clearly, because of the way that you rap, and I watched you last year, the way that you rap, a cappella, for me, I feel like is a strength for you when you flow, because you don't really have, like, a time and a metronome or a mechanism that you got to go with. You can just, you know, pretty much do it the way you did it. Now, if he didn't tell y'all, and I'm pretty sure, he told me earlier he was going to play it, out of all the stuff you said, the thing that made me laugh, I couldn't hold it in, was when you said my shirt looked like a pack of zebras holding gay signs. I'm like,
it was a herd of zebras running by with a gay pride flag.
And it was, I turned around and I told my boy, I said, that one might do me on this round.
Because, you know, I was telling Les, too, because Les critiqued me. I asked him to. And he said, I thought you could have come harder. And I'm like, you got to understand. I had done three sets. I had been there since noon. I'd been sweating my ass off all day. All the delays, the stress. Then we're finally there, and it's a cappella. And I know you've gotten hotter. All those things together weaken the overall delivery, but you're right. A cappella played to my strength in that moment, and I was grateful for it, even though I didn't know it was coming. I was like, oh, thank you. Because I knew keeping going to a beat meant having to stay hype, and a cappella meant I could be hype and not have to worry about, you know, the synchronicity there. It would all just be on my pace and tempo. Some cat afterwards said, yeah, you won, but in New York, you wouldn't win with that shit because you stopped too much. And I'm like, well, I was letting the crowd laugh at the jokes and stuff, but I got you. I know I can rap faster than that, but I want them to hear the next line I'm going to say. So it's also so that they can simmer down and we can get moving again. But he's right. New York people want to hear fucking flow, and they want to hear it be tight. And it's not just about punchlines. It's about everything. Tef said it, though. This crowd wanted to hear stingers. So I kept that in mind. I kept saying, all right, I'm throwing stingers. And, dude, I held off the toughest line I had, bro. I'll say it to you right now. What I was going to say was Grease Gutter, kill TDB. That's hilarity. Keep talking and get shot up like shop owners on Cherokee. That was going to be the final line, bro. Because I knew all about the little murder over the weekend or whatever in Cherokee, and that was going to be it. But I also thought, it's like 9/11, bro. Too soon. You know, like I was like, I don't know if I should do that.
It's been nuts here. It's been nuts.
I hear it's been like fucking Beirut back there. Tell us about all that shit. What's going on, man?
Bro, like, I want to say last week, bro, 15 people got shot and one person got stabbed. This all in the same night.
That's insane. Okay. That's insane. And it's different parts
all
of town, too,
that
right?
Is the same,
it was different parts of town and different types of, like, different people, different backgrounds, different ethnicities, all of it, right? Am I right?
Yeah, all of them went balls to the wall. Somebody said fuck it, and somebody else said fuck it, and they just went balls to the wall.
Wild.
All up and down, what they said was that, I can't think of it right now, damn it. But yeah, that's what happened. And then, if it wasn't the next day, maybe the day after next, this guy, he works in the same field that I do. I work with people with autism and developmental disabilities.
Uh-huh.
And the guy, one of the guys that runs one of the homes off on Cherokee, he's Somalian, from what I was told. He gets into it with the workers. He goes to the car and gets the gun. He goes in there and shoots two guys and two women, and then he kills himself.
And they were like employees of his, right?
Yeah, they were employees of his, yeah.
That's just wild, man. I read about that in the paper because part of my preparation for battles is I always read the paper like the day of, mm-hmm. so I got fresh shit to riff on so that people know it's freestyle right. and people know it's, you know, it's in the moment. But I was right. reading all this, every page of the front page was like murder, 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 kill, kill, kill. Every page, bro. I was shocked.
Did you hear about what happened this morning?
No, what happened today?
Somebody in a white, well, I guess it had been last night. Somebody in a white Cherokee, ran over this girl and her 2-year-old son.
Lord. What, like hit and run?
And the baby died. Yeah, oh. like they hit her hard enough to where they were like, we're looking for the white Cherokee with the right front end smashed in.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Nah, man, I was talking about it with people, you know, because of that Jody Arias, another one I had jokes about but I didn't use, but Jody Arias case about how despicable that seems to people. I'm like, that's one thing, but it's like when you bring a kid, especially a little one, into it, like Casey Anthony, that's got to be like one of the most deified people in history, bro. How do you right. do that to your beautiful, right, right. pure little girl? Oh, my God. How can anybody, like, forgive that, you know? And it doesn't mean right. grown-up life is less important. But, boy, isn't it, like, when it's a 2-year-old, how pronounced is that? It's like, dear Lord, I would stop the car and try to save their life. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Especially if it was by mistake. You know, I would stop the car and get out and give CPR or whatever, man. Lord.
Right, right. Of course. Same here.
Yeah, that's wild. I don't know how. I guess people get afraid and they stop thinking altogether. That's the only way I could even defend it. It's like they just get afraid yeah. and think this is going to ruin my
some
life, and they don't think straight.
Some people freeze up, man. Some people freeze. You know, like perfect example. Like that one guy that went up there, that went up against Aiken. I mean, he just choked. He just stopped.
Dude, he couldn't even start. It was like right at the beginning. It was like he pulled a Papa Doc, man. He just froze up.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I kept looking at my friend. I'm like, dude, why would this guy get up here and do this to himself? Dear Lord, at least try.
Exactly.
At least try.
Because he's labeled now.
Yeah, he's known as the choker. I mean, that's right there, man. You couldn't even start. Lord.
Yeah.
And there were others that I thought were probably a little too big for their britches that got up there. And more than a few of my friends said that to me. That, dude, there are a lot of guys like, what business do you have being up here? And I'm like, I know, but everybody's got to start.
That guy that you battled correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't you battle the one guy that had the dope hat on?
That's right, and I was riffing on that. I can't remember his name, but yes, it was the dude in the dope hat.
I can't either, man, but and if he listening, he can correct me if I'm wrong. But honest to God, and this I'm only saying this because I've been battling for a long time. It sounded like everything was written down there that he was saying.
Yeah, it did sound like. And I didn't even mention it, man. And it was funny. That was one of my strategies. I was going to question the authenticity of everyone. But you so obviously were freestyling. That would just be wasted words. So I didn't need to say that. But I thought with him, that should have been something I said, and I didn't. But you're right. It did all sound written.
Because, like, I was sitting there listening to him when he was going at you. He started looking down at the ground a lot. And then he was just, everything was just rhyming together, just, and it wasn't even about you. He was just talking about hoes and how girls go crazy over him and all this other stuff. And I was like, he didn't went into a verse of a song.
I know that if I'm coaching someone, I would say, if you do blank out and have a brain fart, have some going to the well punchlines at least. But the thing is,
yes.
don't make them like memorized rhymes, just have going to the well punchlines and still try and freestyle through them so that it still sounds like a freestyle. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I have like 5 of them in my well every time I go, because I know that that's the thing with freestyle, even though I know I've been doing it forever and I'm good at it, that you can blank. And if you blank and then you don't have anything left, then you're done. So if you've got a couple in the well, at least you can go to those when you need them. You know?
Oh, yeah.
But that's different than having written verses. That's just knowing how to get yourself back on track if you fall off, you know?
Right. It's that emergency brake glass right there.
Yeah. Well, and you learned that from years and years of trial and error. You know, when I'd get up there and didn't have those in the well and I'd blank, that'd be about the end of the round, you know, and I'd see how that'd work. So you just kind of go back to the drawing board and go, okay, what do I need next time so that if I do blank, that won't happen again, you know? And most people are too afraid to even try to freestyle. I know you know that. I mean, God, it's like with your rapper friends.
You're right, man. I've heard so many people downplay people that know how to freestyle. They'll go, freestyling ain't going to make you no money, or just because you can freestyle don't mean you can write a song against me. And I always go, well, what kind of song you talking about writing? Because plenty of y'all write songs that go, fat ass. Bounce it. Work it, but fat ass. You know what I'm saying? And that's, and you get the 808s behind you, and a little chant, and everybody think you dope. When in actual reality, you're worse. I mean, it would be better if I made a song reading the ingredients off of Captain Crunch box or whatever.
That sounds hot, man. So especially if you rhyme it up a little bit. That'd be nuts. You call it like Crunchberry Swag or something.
But yeah, people try to downplay it, man. You know, but in actual reality, man, like I grew when I was a kid, man, I yearned to be around MCs, old heads that sit around and just pitch lines to each other and just go back and forth like that. Because like you had mentioned, you know, it's a muscle. You know what I'm saying? And if you don't work it out, it's not going to put out when you need it to.
That's exactly right, bro. I tell people it's like shooting free throws or any sort of athletic practice. There's another direct metaphor. I'm saying I love the greatest athletes in the world, and I read about them, and I study them, and I study their work habits. And, bro, I'm sure you know that the thing that unites each and every one of the greatest at any of their respective sports, Ali, Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, etc., is practice, 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 practice.
Yes. All day long, man. You know the formula, man. I learned it a long time ago, man. You gotta practice when everybody else ain't. When they want to go out, they want to go to the club. Hell, if they want to go to the movies when they come out, the day that something come out, you got to be practicing. Why they doing that? Because they losing hours.
That's right.
Gaining,
and you're keeping the muscles nice and strong, you know, and you're keeping it ready for when you need it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not. They're going out and fucking around. I was saying that about Kobe. Yeah. The reason Kobe's got 5 and the rest of his peers have like 1 or 2, if they even have any, is that while they were out fucking bitches at the club, he was still in the gym shooting at 2 a.m. He has his own key, bro. He has his own key. He's like, I'll leave the lights on. That's cool. I'll lock up when I'm done. He stays and shoots all by himself for hours, bro. That's why. You know?
He does, man. All of them did that, man. All of them, man. It's so simple though, man. But you know how it is now though, man. Like I'm pretty sure y'all get those tracks. I know people sing y'all tracks where they say 6 words the whole song over and over and over.
It's true, man.
And they throw swag in there.
I love Tef's music. We were bumping on here too, where he starts out on that superhero killer shit, and he starts doing a little bit of the repetitive shit, but you know he's really just needling them, dude. Ah, it's so funny. I love that.
But you know though, man, like when it's all said and done, man, like you know, my hat go off to you. I honest to God, I challenged you because you know you was the champ, and I mean, to be honest, if don't nobody else say it, man, this is exactly how it happened. If you didn't know how it happened, we were at the Blank Space. We were having the cypher sessions that they have, you know, every other Sunday, and Fester was like, yo, him and Rob was like, yo, who gonna challenge Tucker this year, man? He going for the third time. Nobody said nothing. People were just looking around, looking at each other, and I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me.
Not one person. Then you knew you had to step up, bud.
I'm like, nobody's gonna say, hey, I'll challenge him. So I was like, fuck it, I'll do it. Somebody got to make this shit interesting this year. Yeah, I'll challenge him. I don't give a damn. So that's kind of where it came from. And then everybody's like, oh. And then they pulled a video camera out. I was rapping. And then I just started freestyling. And they were like, whoa, do it again, do it again, do it again. So then they pulled a video camera out. That's how we got the video going. It was good. I was like, I was talking to Fence and them. I was like, it's going to be great because... But one, for me, I need it because I'm trying to push myself out there even more to catch more people, different ages, different whatever. I'm trying to pull them. I know everybody's going to want to see it because of you, because like you say, everybody look at you and they go, no way. Everybody I'm friends with, when they saw who you were, even the day of, my friends was there like, you can't be serious. That's who you battling? I'm like, man, don't let how he look fool you, man. Don't let I look fool you. I get it. Trust me. That's the problem. Everybody look at him and they go, no way. Shit, this ain't nothing. And then when you get up there, it's like, oh, hell, how did this bull put this cat fur on? Well, you know what I'm saying?
I used to be worse about it, too, man. When I was younger, I did the rope-a-dope hard, where I would come dressed in, like, swim trunks with flowery prints on them and flip-flops and bullshit. I was really trying to look like a douchebag getting up there. But it's like Woody Harrelson in White Men Can't Jump. I come looking like a clown, and I challenge him for money, and then all of a sudden I turn into, you know, Tom Cruise in The Color of Money, bro. That was how I was playing the game.
I thought you were going to have that long-ass hair when you came, man. When I saw you and you had it cut, I was like, damn.
Because I knew you were going to have hair jokes, not just you, but everybody, because they all associate me with my shaggy hair. You know what? And that's where I'll tell you some background. Up to 2 days before I left, I had that Davy Jones Beetle Bob looking horse shit haircut. And I'm like, it's got to go. I got to at least get it cut. And I'm like, nah, man, I need to just shave that shit off, dude. 3-clip with a 2 up the back. It's got to go. And I just did it because I was like, I need to take one bullet out of their guns. One. For sure.
That was, I told you. I was like, even when I was batting, I was like, oh, you got the hair. I had a hairline waiting, and I couldn't use it. That was my one I had in the well. When I tell you, it was going to go into the next and the next. It was just going to be like butter. And as soon as I saw you up there performing, I said, fuck you, cut his hair. Oh, my God. So,
I was trying to hide out from you, too, before the battle. I know when you finally found me, I'd seen you a couple times and tried to hide because in my mind it was like, I don't want him to see my haircut until he gets there, you know, to the battle. Like, that was all part of the mind games, too. Like, you know, stay away from him so he doesn't know who you are. Maybe he can't recognize you with the haircut, you know.
Matter of fact, you know, I don't even know if you tried to do this. He was performing. What's the other guy that be there with you, that co-host with you on the show?
Not So Shy John. Oh, you talking about? Are you talking about Innovation, DJ Innovation?
Yeah.
My buddy.
So,
yeah.
So Tuck was on stage performing, and I was walking. It was a group of guys that was like kind of in the area where I was walking at. Tuck points out in the car and goes, "Hey, you right there? Yeah, you look like you want some." And I stopped. I stopped and I looked. And then the guy was like, oh, no. He's looking like, no. And my camera guy, my engineer, that's my engineer, Matt Sawicki, he goes, oh, man, he is trying to fuck with you. Exactly what he said. He's like, he is playing the mind game, Trees. He is trying to fuck with you. I said, he is. Let's just go on the inside. I don't even want to see the rest of this set no more.
You know what the funny thing was? I wasn't even looking at you. I'm being very honest. There was some other kid and his little crew of stink eyes back in the back. They were all stink eyeing, and they all kept whispering in each other's ears. And when I said that line about it looks like he wants some, I was looking at him. Now, you were probably just to the right of my visage, so I noticed you, but I wasn't talking to you. Now, then I noticed you guys left, and I'm like, man, maybe that chased him off. Like, I'm like, fuck. I have a habit of needling my audience if they're not giving me what I want, and that was what I was doing right there. When I see people doing the stink eye at me, I'm like, oh, these must be contenders in the battle then. Hi, guys, how you doing? You know, it's a little bit of that antagonist humor in me, because I've done stand-up in my life, too, and, you know, a heckler audience, man, you got to come prepared for that. You got to have many in the well for a heckler, you know, and you got to know how to do it without making the crowd think you're awful, you know, so you got to know how to do it right. And be the people's champ while you do it. And I think in the freestyle forum, back to what you were saying about freestyle being a specific thing, in that forum, I have strength because of the fact they don't expect me to be good. I think that becomes a huge strength with the audience, especially, that they don't expect it, so it's a real surprise, and that becomes a novelty that they can get behind for the rest of the night. And I've tried to exploit that as best as possible, because I've always been pretty good at freestyle. Even when I was young, I could outbattle all my friends. I could outbattle most of the people that were so-called good in downtown St. Louis. I'd go to open mics and crush dudes. And I'm like, wow, my writtens weren't that tight yet, but my freestyles were. And I could go forever. I could go for 10 minutes nonstop, like even back when I was 21. And I remember thinking, well, like we said, if it's a muscle, just keep building that shit. And now, you know, 10 years later, now it's strong. You know, now it feels like a real strong, well-defined muscle. Whereas back then it was like I'd have hot nights and shit nights, but I knew I could always do it. You know, it was never something I doubted. Most people, I say, hey, man, you want to battle? And they're like, look scared, man. I mean, they really do. Even if I'm just saying it in fun, like, hey, you want to battle? And they're like, oh, man, no, I don't want to battle.
It's funny, man.
Yeah.
It's funny, man, because you think about it like, honest to God, Chuck, it was, on the flyer, I think it was 60 people that was supposed to perform. Even if all 60 didn't get to perform, it's no way in the world that when they were asking people to sign up for the battle, that people shouldn't have been putting their name on there. Because that's like, I mean, that's damn near where it originated from, was people, you know what I'm saying?
Doing the dozens, man. Doing the dozens. Yep. And it was all that dozen shit, like 60 style. And I have OG friends that tell me about how they used to do that shit. You know, they'd stand on the street corner and do mama jokes, but they all rhymed, you know, and they crack on each other's body and they crack on each other's fucking, you know, money they had and crack on all that shit. But it was all in rhyme and it was all freestyle. It was just real early, like OG freestyle, you know?
I try to tell people, man, like all my peers, and people that, you know what I'm saying, when they ask me, like, yo, man, how do you write the songs you write, man? Like, how do you come up with everything? And I try to tell them, I'm like, dude, it's like my mind has 5 lines of words that just be shooting across from left to right when I'm writing. And it's like I freestyle to myself. If it sounds good with the beat, I jot it down. Sometimes I come back and something sound better. I take it out and put it back and put the other thing there. But when you, like you say, like when you don't exercise it, you just can't do it. You know, it's something that you can't teach somebody.
You're right. You know? You're right. It is an innate thing. I was thinking about trying to mentor folks. And the thought that came with mentoring is it's like a swing coach. You can show them the swing, but they still got to get up there and mentally be at peace with themselves enough to do what you showed them to do. Because like golf swing, I've been working on my golf swing for a while, bro. When you're mentally fucked, you're fucked. You're fucked. You can't even hit a ball. I swear to God, you'll whiff. You'll hit nothing but air if you're too up in your head. But then again, how do you tell someone this is exactly the mechanics you need to do to hit this right, but don't think while you swing? I mean, that sounds insane to most people. Like, what are you talking about? I got 20 things to think about. Just make sure my body does the right thing. Yeah, but it's not going to help you. Just don't think. Just get out there and rip it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, it shows, man. It shows, man. I was laughing when I was looking at them other people go, man. I wasn't laughing. So you could see me laughing in the inside. I was just like, you don't do this. I mean, I applaud you for getting up there trying, but I mean, I can really tell that you don't do this. And that's what a lot of people won't say, Tuck. They won't admit it. Some might, but majority of them won't admit it, man. When they get around on Slumfest, even though it's once a year, I saw somebody make a stat today. They made a stat, and I saw Tef talking to some guy on Twitter. He was addressing them or whatever because he was trying to still, they were still trying to carry on that bullshit that happened or whatever. And, you know, Tef made a comment to him like, you know, I never seen you before. Slumfest is once a year. That's the only time you got a chance to do something. And he made a good point when he said that. Yeah, that is the only chance that some guys get a chance to do whatever they do there. But the crazy thing about it is that when they got guys like you, when they got Three Kings, when they got like Aztec De Niro and all them other guys, they don't even sponge y'all like they should. Because when I used to go to Slumfest, this is my second year performing. When they first started doing it, or even back when I used to go to High Point, before I even attempted to even get on the stage, I was sponging the whole time. I'm studying, I'm watching people, I'm listening, I'm talking to people when they get done, like, man, you know, what do? You know, I'm sponging, and they don't do that. You know what I'm saying? Part of the reason, I guess, is because of how the industry is and that shit with sugar on it sell real fast nowadays.
Yeah, but that's true.
I think that's the big problem. You know what I'm saying? One guy came up to me after I talked to you, Tuck, and he was like, man, what the fuck was you doing talking to him, bro? Why are you talking to him, man? He just beat you. And I was like, because it's no hard feelings, bro. Like, that was fun. You know what I'm saying? It was fun, bro. It wasn't like if Tucker beat me, I was going old school him, like off of Scarface or something, and have him hanging back in the freezer.
Seriously,
like,
take the microphone and smash me in the face, bro.
It was fun. You know, you win or lose, you learn, and it was fun. You know what I'm saying? And I look at it like this. Yeah, I lost to you, but now everybody else sees what I'm capable of doing who didn't know. So it's like, hey, if Tuck don't want to come back next year, I'm going to be back next year. And if I get it, I'm going to try to keep it running like you did. I'm going to try to go as many times as I can.
I think you got not only the potential, but I think you got that in the future, bro. I just want to be serious, especially after this interview and after talking to you as extensively as I did there. You obviously have a great head on your shoulders. You're obviously very humble, but also centered and driven. And you've persevered a long time, obviously, to get to where you are now, as I feel like I and some of my friends have. You know, dude, you got the potential to rip off 6, 7, 8 of these things, man. Easy.
I appreciate that, man. I appreciate it, man.
You know, and I'll say this much,
and
man.
I definitely appreciate the I appreciate the mud slinging too, man. Because like I told you Saturday, I was listening when you guys had played the video I did on the show or whatever, and it was just so funny when you and your co-host was going back and forth. I was sitting at my laptop on the phone with my manager, and I was like, I want to call in.
Well, I thought you were, man. And you know, I knew you were listening. I knew you had to be listening because I knew you'd seen the internet activity. But I'm like, he's got to be listening. If he's smart at all, he's listening. And then I'm like, then I should just start addressing him. And I'm like, get a memo pad. Get a memo pad out, Mr. Gutta. I've got some suggestions. I'm being such a dick face. I came in knowing I had to be needle dick on the mic that day. And I'm like, okay, I guess because I'm going to have to play the part today, you know. But I got to say, I appreciate that you did challenge me. I wish that more cats would come prepared. Some other cat online today is like, man, I'm just shocked motherfuckers don't even prepare for you. And I'm like, well, Grease did. But yeah, I am surprised that there weren't at least a few other cats that were like, dude, I could take this cat. I just need to fucking do a little digging. I mean, that's what I would think if I saw me at a battle. I'm just saying. I mean, and I'm my own biggest critic, so no matter who tells me, fuck that dude, I tell myself, fuck that dude more often than they do. So I know full well what I'm capable of, and I know on a good day, I'm great, and on a bad day, I'm not so great. I'm not even that good at all. So, yeah, well, and that's it. It's improv, so it's like John said, it's a hard sport to train for. And so just by that, the, you know, kind of like the fickle nature of freestyle, I can just have a bad round and that's that. Somebody else wins. It couldn't be because I was good or bad. It could just be I had a fucking off round and that's that, you know?
Right.
And so
right.
I come prepared for all that mentally because I think that's part of preparation, as I know you did. And I came prepared to enjoy it this time more than I had in years past because I got to tell you, I'm in a better place in my life than I was last year or the year before. So I know this much. I didn't need it as bad. And I think when the pressure's off like that a little bit and you've already got the confidence of winning, then it's kind of that combo of strength and knowing you can do this because you've done it before, but also the pressure's off because I don't really have anything to lose. You know, my life's in order. Right. You know, I've already won. I'm going to be okay. And I kept telling myself that kind of as a tandem. I'm like, don't say this like quitter talk, but also know that it's not about the win. It's about enjoying it. And like you said, showing the crowd what you're capable of, because even though I'd won two of those, half those motherfuckers in there didn't know who I was either, bro. You know, it's right. Always about showing new people what I'm capable of, as I know it was for you, you know? And that's what Tef was to me back in the day. He was an opportunity to do what you were doing with me, to go up against the guy that was the guy at that time and show others that I could hang with the guy. You know, I mean, I couldn't always beat him, but I could hang with him. I knew I could hang with him, especially if I prepared.
Man, it gets you so much respect, man. Some people tell me, man, you be too humble, man. You're too humble, dog. But I tell them, man, you can't be humble enough. You know what I'm saying? You just can't be humble enough, man, you know, because it's nothing for me to reflect on where I was 2 years ago, man. Like, people listen to my mixtape at the end, man, I tell them, you know what I'm saying? I thought about quitting. I mean, it was a point in my life where, you know, you hit them spots, man, them black spots where you had a downward spiral, and you just like, man, fuck everything. I ain't got time for this shit. Like, oh, girl, say ain't nobody got time for that. That's just how I was feeling, you know. But I was blessed. I was blessed enough, like I said, I was blessed enough to have the support that I have from my loved ones and definitely from my management team. You know what I'm saying? I pray and thank God for them all the time. And I thank God for keeping me, you know what I'm saying, mercy-wise and everything, you know what I'm saying, and everything I do. Because, you know what I'm saying, deep down inside, man, it ain't just rap. It ain't just rap for me, Tuck. Like, I want to make it rap, and I like write, you know what I'm saying? I want to write songs for people, you know what I'm saying, whether they sing, rap, whatever. You know, it's a grand scheme of things, man. Like, I'm a showman more than anything, man. I love the showmanship of being an MC. You know what I'm saying?
Me too. I love the live part, man, and that's why I love events like Slumfest, is that I always want to do live shows more than I want to be in the studio. I had to learn to love the studio, yeah. But I love doing live shows because I get to connect with my audience, bro, and I get a vibe off their energy.
Yeah. Most def, man. Most def. I was just telling this guy today at work, he was like, could you give me some advice? I got a show coming up. And I said, yeah, don't sound like your CD when you go up there and perform.
No doubt.
And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, if you sound just like your CD, why in the hell do I need to pay to come see you?
No doubt.
You sound just like the CD. I can listen to that in the car. Anybody listening to this, take this thing from me that I used to bite people about and fight people about when they told me. Everybody that go up there and perform, even cats at Slumfest, all you cats that perform with your lyrics still on the beat, you need to stop that shit.
You definitely need to stop that shit, especially as a lead track. I'll accept backups on choruses and maybe even a slight backup on your verse.
I'm talking about like the whole verse stuff.
Yeah,
like,
but if you have your lead verse on there, that's fucked up, man. You don't need a layer of lead verse on your shit. You don't. You need to know how to have the breath control and delivery to do that shit without a whole lead verse on there. It's true.
Yeah. So that's my thing. If anybody want to take from hearing me on here talking, man, practice on that. Practice on not trying to sound like your CD.
That's great advice, because that's coming from a dude who's great at doing live shows. So, folks, take it from the dude who's obviously been doing great at live shows for a while. You got to learn how to do it unlike the studio. And I think that's because a lot of times when all you've been doing is doing it in the studio, you get up on that stage and the dynamic has shifted, and you forget that you have to have come ready for that new dynamic. And the dynamic is, you got people out there, and if they don't like it, they're going to boo you. Like they did at Slumfest, again, even though we tell them not to. People don't like it, man. They'll heckle, and that's not just St. Louis.
They will boo you. They will boo you, and I feel so bad for that guy. Tuck, that's what I mean. Dude, that dude, bro, he pulled me aside after everything was over. That dude was pissed.
Dude, he was ranting at me, too. The dude with the tall dude with the dreads, the skinny guy.
Yeah, he was talking about, like, man, I could fuck everybody up here. They just don't know, man. I'll kill everybody. I was like, bro, you need a drink?
Yeah, exactly. You want to calm down? I was like, pleasure meeting you, bud, but I think I got to be going now. Like, I listened to about 5 minutes of that, and I'm like, I'm not trying to be mean, but my friends are asking me to go, so see you later.
Yeah, he was getting mad, man. I was like, I understood where he was coming from. I understand the disrespect. I understand that. You don't want nobody booing you. I get that. But, I mean, that's almost kind of, it comes with the territory when you get up there and battle, you know.
Especially battling, man.
I've been in battles where people didn't literally been cursing people out behind them, listening to them battle, like, just cursing at them.
Well, and my first round opponent not only was talking at me while I was battling, so he was interrupting me, which is definitely not normal battle etiquette, but also he poked me in the chest with his finger, bro, and I let that one go. I didn't even address it. So I knew it wouldn't help me to try and go alpha dog at that moment, but he actually made physical contact.
Did that happen at Slumfest?
Yeah, he made physical contact. The dude in the dope pad, he stuck his finger in my chest and poked me, bro.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, and I didn't call attention to it because I didn't think it would be to my benefit to get more amped up on that topic, because that might make him poke me in my chest again, and then we'd have an issue on our hands. So I kind of played peacemaker and not brought that up again. But, yeah, I let that go, bro. I was like, okay, I guess I'm letting that go. I was
that's
like,
that rookie shit, though.
Yeah, at a normal battle, that's a disqualification. I mean, they'll straight say that. If you make physical contact with the opponent, that's absolutely not going to work. You'll be done.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, yeah, that's an ejection right there, like those other cats. And we didn't even talk about that exactly, but before you go, tell them about these cats that simultaneously got ejected in their round in the battle. That's got to be the most wild, like, subplot of the entire thing, man. Tell them about what you saw.
Man, that was, and I rapped with them dudes a little bit after, when I left, man. That was nuts, dog. Like, I got two different sides of it. People that don't know, we were at the battle, and these two guys were finna battle each other that they called up there. I didn't know that they were both friends. And, you know, one guy, he won, you know, the rock, paper, scissors or whatever. He starts off like he's freestyling, and then he instantly turns at Tef Poe, and he starts rapping at Tef Poe.
And he didn't just rap at him, because I asked Tef, I'll interject, I asked Tef, what did he say to you? Because it obviously made him kind of upset. He said, now I got to battle with this N-bomb as the judge. All right, now go ahead.
Yeah, he just started. And then his friend, this is what made me laugh. Now, I laughed, but at the same time, I was attentive because, you know, I don't know whether they knew it or not, but everybody in there was ready and willing. Because they didn't understand. They changed the situation, and they made everybody become family instantly. Because we're all there trying to have a good time. We trying to, you know, you're basically trying to cut the throat of something that everybody has grown to be what it is right now. You know, we don't need that negative vibe,
right?
You know, and his friend turns to Tef and goes, yeah, motherfucker, it's like that. What now? So for me, I'm sitting up here like, they want to fight. That's what I got from it. I'm like, they want to fight. Because even when they was holding the other guy back, he was like jumping, trying to reach forward like he wanted to touch Tef.
Yeah, so, it felt like there was direct animosity that went deeper than the lyrics. From my vantage, I felt it. Yeah, it did. It felt like a prank. It felt like a suicide mission prank. That's the words that came to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these guys just wanted to terrorize Tef and all of us because they flipped off the audience too, bro. Did you notice that?
I noticed that.
They flipped off like a whole swath of the audience. It's like, fuck you. And just to tell you, I'd seen that cat, one of them, the year before in the battle in an early round, and he came up and didn't do well. He got through one round because the other guy was even worse. But then the next round, he was doing that anger management shit again, where it wasn't really like he was battling well. He was having like an anger meltdown on the stage, bro. So I don't know if there's like a little bit of anger management issue there or what, but this seemed more planned than last year, though. I would say that.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah, my friend mentioned it after the battle last year. He goes, did you see that one cat that got up there? And it was like, it looked like that dude was having some real issues up on stage. And I'm like, yeah, it did. It felt like it, too, when I was up there. He's like, yeah, it was crazy. I wonder if he'll ever come back. And then he did, and I'm like, that's that cat. Like, I said it to True Heart Asylum. I'm standing next to him. I'm like, that's that cat last year that seemed like he was real livid and just, like, had some mental issues. And then they had that whole meltdown. I'm like, dear Lord. I guess he still does a little bit. I mean, for real, because why are you going to insult your judge? Why are you going to insult your judge with a hate speech word delivered as hate speech? Dear Lord, I'm just saying, like, that's two levels of what?
I thought D was going to spill on him, honestly.
Because, yeah, that's another thing. D-Mac is a little less restrained than Tef, as far as he'll knock somebody out for talking that kind of shit.
Yeah, he will. And I was waiting on it. I'm like, dude, I'm sitting there like, D-Mac is, I'm only about 5'7". D-Mac probably about 5'9", maybe 5'10". But he's looked like a good 300 pounds.
Oh, shit.
But so he's cut like a defensive back, bro. It looks like he could bench 500 pounds, bro.
You know what I'm saying? And he's aggressive. He's definitely aggressive. Not aggressive in a bad way, but you know what I'm saying? Everybody know D. Like, if you know him, you good people, you ain't got to worry about nothing. If you come out the wrong way, you got a problem. That's what it is.
And if you drop hate speech and he doesn't like the way it sounds, it doesn't matter who you are. He'll straight punch you, bro.
Yeah, he'll punch you. He'll tell you he'll punch you.
Yeah.
He don't care.
Right.
The one dude stepped over him the wrong way, and he almost stood up and looked like he was finna elbow him in the back of the neck.
I loved it when he got up and talked to the crowd too. I need all y'all to step like 3-4 feet the fuck back now.
Yeah And everybody's like, oh,
he's like, and simmer down, stop, shut up, be respectful.
Yeah, man.
Man, but you're right. Yeah, so that shit was nuts. Though, and they've perpetuated it further online, it sounds like, now, too. Great. Fun. Thanks,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, you know what, man? They seeking. They, if I was Chef, man, I'd feel great, man, that, you know, you got people pulling them kind of stunts, man. You know, trying to you know, do whatever to get out there more, to get that attention like that, you know. That's all it is, for real.
Yeah, I would tell Tef, if he's getting hurt by this, to just stop looking. I had to do that many times on the message boards on this and that. You know, I just have to stop looking, because, you know, you're good enough at battling that you can just keep on stoking their flames. And really, if you don't want to help them, quit letting them ride on your coattails and just freeze them out, dude. I mean, that's all they're trying to do.
Right. What they used to say, why should I come downstairs?
Exactly. And you need me. I do not need you. I mean, literally, yeah. I do not need this poison in my life. I don't need it. You need me to keep going.
That talk, I was like, Tef, you're up here, bro. You didn't work your ass off. You're up here. You know, I ain't about jocking nobody, swag or nothing. Like, you're up here. You didn't bust your ass. You up here. People still trying to get up there. They trying to get up there. Ain't no need for you to come down. There's no need for it. Matter of fact, you just move over here. You let me and everybody else calm this down. You don't need to be involved in it at all, you know.
Well, and I'm glad we had people like you that were wise enough to help calm it down, because Slumfest has said on the show before, Jamie so-and-so called in and was saying, this is the fourth year now, and every year without fail, they haven't had a single fight. This was the closest thing we've even had to a fight in 4 years. And that's an impressive record for any festival, hip-hop or otherwise.
Look at the record around town.
Well, yeah, and that's it. Yeah, and like we're saying, look at the record around town, too. You know, there's so many people in St. Louis that, you know, I remember battles back in the day that I was in with all these cats where, you know, some shit that went down in the audience could turn into a riot, and that's it. Battle's over. You know?
Yeah.
People just turn and throw on each other like a damn soccer riot. I've seen it happen more than once. You know, and it could just be somebody looked at some guy's girl wrong, and they hit him in the head with a bottle, and then it's on, you know? And when you've been through it, you're like, for our own sake and for their sake, for everyone's enjoyment's sake, we need to be peacemaking delegates of these things, even at rap battles. And that's, once again, it's a real fine line to walk. And, you know, of course, like both of us did, you know, practice gamesmanship in this, so it's not like we don't compete. But we also aren't there to, like, start beef with each other for real. And I'm grateful that others do come to it like that. And I'm grateful that those, besides those fools, stayed away that will want to come and try and do that with me. I'm really grateful they did that this year. Because it's just terrorism, man, you know. And I don't know if they fully understand that. You know, heckling is to me, too. But like you said, it comes with the territory and you get hardened to it. But why are you going to terrorize me and everyone else that came to see this show, you know? They're not here to listen to you, and they don't give a shit if you like me or not. If you hate me so much that you just can't stand me that much, don't buy my shit, boycott all my shows, and tell any self-respecting friend of yours to do the same. I'm all about you doing that. That's your freedom of speech, your freedom of choice. But bottom line is, when you come and do that to me, you just blew all their money and their fucking fun time for them, too. You did this to the whole room. And we all have to focus on you, and we didn't come to see the fucking drunken heckler show. We came to see the show, you know?
Right.
And so I've got issues on there with that. However, that said, it's St. Louis, bro, and it's midnight, and it's been a long fucking day. People are loaded. They're going to boo if they don't like you. You have to be cool with that.
And
you can't let that spin you.
And we dealt with the mini storm coming through there, and
I could tell how it was going to be, though. I mean, I took the temperature of the room right then and went, man, I better bring it, because they will boo me, no doubt. A lot of these cats don't know me. They'll straight boo. You know, I better be hot. You know, and that's good, because St. Louis forces you to be hot, you know, because it's a hot place, man. Literally and figuratively, it's a hot place. It's literally hot all the time in the summer there.
But a tough crowd, too. Huh?
Yeah, tough audience, man. Well, Grease, man, it's been really good having you on the phone. I want to play a few more cuts off your mixtape before we cut the podcast. But we're going to give your mixtape a good bump right now, man. We're going to play a whole bunch of cuts off it here. And
hey, man, I appreciate you having me on here, man. And I appreciate everything, bro. I appreciate the people that I gained Saturday from even, you know what I'm saying, the performing and getting a chance to battle against you, man. And it's definitely something that's going to go on my resume, man, for, you know what I'm saying, going up against you, man, because, you know, it ain't like you you're a nobody or a slouch or nothing. So,
well, you know what? And I have to say this as a maybe instead of as a promise, but I had really, really considered being done with the Slum Fest after this one, either way. And that's how I came in thinking. I told everybody that asked, you know, you can keep doing this. I'm like, nah, man, this is it. Win, lose, draw, I'm done. This is it. I'm satisfied with this as a result. If I win seven, that's great.
I think you're going to come back, man.
But I got to tell you, then I won, bro. Then I won. And I'm up there celebrating with my buddies. And the first thought that comes to me is, that was so much fun. That felt so good. That felt better than years before. Man, four sounds like you could do four. And I'm like, stop doing this. Stop it. Like, I know this voice. Stop it. Shut the fuck up. Like, I'm having a little argument in my head. Then the next thought is, well, maybe you could come and judge or something. And it's like, yeah, that'd be all right. But, you know, you really want four. So, dude, I got to tell you, I can't say I'm retired. I say I'm semi-retired and I'm leaving the door open. So I may very well come back. And, hey, if it's Booth Gutter 2, that's fucking sick, man. I think everybody would want to come and see that.
I'm down, man. You know I'm down, man. I'm down for it. I gotta get that love you got, man. Everybody was running up to him, taking pictures with him, holding the trophy. I was like, fuck.
It's good to be champ, man. It's good to be champ. I'll tell you that. It's been real nice. And it's funny how, you know, I tried to keep perspective, and I said this on shows past, but even though it is but an underground music festival in St. Louis, Missouri, these last 3 years at Slumfest have absolutely been a huge inspiration for me. And like you were talking about dark periods and questioning whether you want to keep going, bro, I've had that through the last year even. And I'll tell you, the thought of I got Slumfest on the horizon has kept me going definitely for the last 2 years since I won the first battle. And I think it's also emboldened me, not just with the winning, but with seeing how well run it's been and seeing how much talent there is in the scene to keep going to keep wearing St. Louis on my back, no matter where I live, bro.
And likewise for your compadres.
Yeah, and do it for me and for my friends. Because now, especially with this radio venue and other opportunities that will come with Perseverance, I'm sure Tef's feeling the same way. We can open the door and get a lot of our talented friends through it, too. And that's always been in my mind, in the front of my mind, is I don't want to just help myself. I know how many really wonderful people, let alone talented artists, live in that town. And I saw a whole bunch of them at that event, man. Ones I already know and new ones I just met.
And Dave said so, too. Dave agreed.
There's a ton of them. It's a ringer town, especially for underground hip-hop talent. It's ringers, bro. A ton of them. So, you know, I want to keep repping and I want to keep wearing St. Louis on my back. And who knows, man, I might even move back someday. I've never ruled it out, you know. So I'm saying, you know, I came out here to give it more light, though, man, because there are a lot of connects out here that can help, you know. That's kind of the next step.
That's what it's about, man. That's definitely what it's about, man. Last thing I say, man, is shout out to everybody that showed me love Saturday. Shout out to everybody that's been showing love on Facebook. I don't know if you've been watching, Tuck, but people been commenting and posting stuff the whole time we've been on here. Shout out to everybody that tuned in and listening.
Facebook and Twitter have been great to us.
Let's keep it going, man. Let's keep this movement pushing. Let's keep supporting each other. You know, whether you're performing or not, let's come out to these shows. Let's keep these venues going. Let's bring money in. Let's make it look so big to where people on the outside breaking their neck to come over to St. Louis so they can try to get in here and break their records in here, man. You know, we gotta make the jewelry store look good, man.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. I agree with you, and I think St. Louis from downtown to the Grove to Kirkwood, where I was with some friends, in Rock Hill. I was over on the south side, down by Ted Drew's in the south side. Dude, it's all looking great. It's really coming up a lot, all parts of town.
Yeah.
I'm seeing it. And we were in downtown. Downtown looks great, bro. It's come up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, anyways, man, much love to you. Thank you so much. This was a great call, great interview. Thank you for calling in. And you know what? We're going to play more of you. I'll stay in touch with you online. We'll have you call back in. We'll do another round of this soon enough. I guarantee it.
Oh, yeah, man. Much love to you, man. Appreciate it, man. Stay safe, man. If you stay blessed, you and the family and all that.
All right. You too, man. Much love. All right. We will talk to you soon, and we're going to jump right into Grease Gutter's mixtape. This is the Slumfest mixtape that he was promoting that he got all the copies out of. Congratulations. BRB mixtape. Grease Gutter. Thanks so much, man. Peace and love.
All right, bro.
Yes. What a great call, man. Really fun to get to get to catch up and get to know these folks. I'll tell you what.
Another sweet down-home man.
You know it, man. You know it. Oh, sorry.
Thought I'd
say that again.
I said another sweet down-home man.
There you go.
Bring it yeah. back.
BRB mixtape. Grease got to
get this shit check real. Tell him. Shout out to Mac Dre. Shout out to Big L.